You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. We've got a great program for you today, folks. Returning to the show is community leader Reverend Odell Cleveland of Greensboro's Mount Zion Baptist Church. And he is here to talk to us this time about his message to men and women about preventive care, as well as some other topics. But before we get to the Reverend, as always, ladies and gentlemen, we begin our program with a little informal chit-chat with my partner in crime, co-conspirator, esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, sir?
Mike, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing really, really well, Jason. Well relaxed after having disconnected, literally, from my AARP phone for a week, because I went to Turks and Caicos last week.
Now, were you free and clear and happy the whole time? Did some anxiety set in where you didn't have the phone for a bit?
I don't think if Turks and Caicos has their own dictionary, I can assure you anxiety is not in it, Jason. Let me tell you, it was the epitome of tranquility and peace. We got a little bit of rain on the last day, but generally, and some afternoons, you know, you get a spotty shower there in the Caribbean. But it was my first visit there, and I have to say, and I say first visit very purposely because I'm coming back for sure. I've been to the Bahamas. I've been to Puerto Rico a bunch of times. I've seen some really beautiful places around the world. This takes the cake in terms of that quintessential, you know, Caribbean aqua water, white sand, you know, just sunsets over the water because of the way we were on the island. Absolutely gorgeous. One of the really great things is that I could not bring my AARP work phone with me, Jason, because I was international. That's part of AARP policy. If I'm, you know, on vacation here on the mainland, I usually bring my phone with me because, you know, I'm director, right? I'm captain of the ship, so to speak, and I got to make sure that there isn't mutiny in the ranks when I'm gone, making sure there's no fires to put out. You know, I just like to, you know, keep an eye, make sure there's nothing I need to be aware of. But when I'm overseas, I can't do that. And it's such a great thing just to be able to disconnect, not have my work phone with me, not have the option of checking into email or work-related texts, anything like that. I put my faith in the very capable hands of my staff while I'm gone and just disconnect. And man, I have to tell you, just being able to put my feet up and just see the clearest water I've ever seen, Jason, jet skiing, checking out a shipwreck, seeing the sunset literally over the water every night with the tiki torches going on the beach and the palm trees, you know, in the cool breeze at night. Again, the quintessential picture when people think, what does a Caribbean paradise look like? This is what it looks like. And it was one really fantastic thing. So not an official AARP endorsement, because of course we don't do that on this show, folks. But I'll have to say, if you're curious about TCI, Turks and Caicos Islands, definitely give it a consideration. And I will have to say, though, Jason, I was warned, it is expensive to go there. And I'll have to say, where we stayed, it was this resort on Grace Bay, within walking distance of a supermarket, which was fantastic because we had a little kitchenette. We're like, okay, well, it's expensive. You don't want to eat out every meal. We'll save some money. Actually, the restaurants weren't the problem. The problem was actually the grocery stores.
That.
Grocery stores and the gas, G&G. I have to say, if you love Oreos, well, you better really love them because you're paying out $11-$12 for a pack of Oreos.
My gosh.
Yes, yes. Your Nutter Butters, no thanks. We're not doing it this time. You know, a little pint of ice cream, not even talking Ben and Jerry's. Jason, you know, a little pint of like vanilla, you know, store brand, you know, $11-$12 for that too. If you want the good stuff, $15-$16, you're like, okay, no ice cream this trip.
So you're saying if this radio show doesn't work out for us, we need to set up a convenience store at Turks and Caicos?
I think you could do pretty well there for sure. However, I have to say, lost, you know, needed to buy a pair of sunglasses, $2 for a pair of sunglasses in the grocery store. I'm like, where can you find sunglasses for $2 that don't like fall apart in your hands? Well, apparently at the supermarket there in TCI. Really, really, really great. Anyway, I really needed that. That not only that disconnect, but just that perfect view and the warm water and all that delight that comes from the Caribbean. It's so important to take care of yourself. And that's, you know, I wanted to start with that, Jason, not only for the timeliness of it, because it just happened in my life, but also because of our guest. You know, when we do our work at AARP, we have the opportunity to connect with people who seize opportunities. You know, maybe they run into certain things in their own life and they recognize and take action on the opportunity to share their learnings with other people. And that's something really true with Reverend Odell Cleveland here, because he has run into certain challenges in his life and has made himself a resource to his community and the broader community through, you know, various media he does, talk shows, podcasts, television shows, and books. And I'm really happy to have him on because, speaking of taking care of yourself and taking care of others, this is somebody who has really, again, made himself a resource. So, Reverend Odell Cleveland, welcome, sir. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me, and please call me Odell.
Okay, Odell. You were first back on the program in February, and that seems like a million years ago with all that's been going on since then. So let's start with there, though. How are you, sir? How has your year been going for you?
You know, the year's been going pretty well. We're using a phrase that AARP used to say, reimagining. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process in the last couple of years of reimagining what life would be like in this thing we call retirement. And based on that, we start doing some things and preparing. And once you start preparing, you start discovering. So we're in the preparing discovery stage now. And that leads to, you know, what we talked about as far as getting ready, just getting ready for the next phase of life.
Okay. I want to talk to you about a couple of topics while we've got you here today. The first has got to do with a video that you shared with me and with others back a couple of months ago. And it's you talking about an experience you had having been admitted into the hospital for the first time in your life, mm-hmm. and emerging from that experience with a very passionate message that you want to share with the community. So I just want to turn it over to you, just to give you the opportunity to talk about your experience and what is your message having reemerged from that?
Oh, definitely. And one of those situations, like we stated, we're trying to get to the point, retirement within the next year. So we're starting to look at everything, losing weight, exercising, doing all the things necessary. And because of those grandkids, and you said, okay, how do I want to spend the rest of my life? So now you start doing the physical stuff, the little things. And what was happening to me, I was having some little problems urinating, you know, a little discomfort. So being a man, a lot of times it's like, okay, we don't go to the doctor until it starts hurting real bad. The pain usually runs us to the doctor. So I went in and got the annual physical and, you know, prostate exam, and everything looked good, but something wasn't right. So I got my doctor, primary care physician, referred me to a urologist. And I went in and we found out that I had an enlarged prostate that was pushing up against my urethra. And because of that, it was causing problems. So after a lot of examinations, we went and got what we call a TURF done. And I woke up with a catheter in the front of me and a gown thing was showing my a lot in the back of me. And I said to myself, you know what, doc, when you came in and talked to me, I said, hey, I have to talk about this. I want to talk about this so other men and women will know that, hey, we have to get checked. We pain and discomfort is not normal. And let's talk about my experience. And the wonderful thing, one of the shows, the urologist who performed my surgery, we came in and we talked through everything. The first time I came, what happened then, the second time, what happened then, and the third time, what happened. So all that was just good. And sometimes just opening up yourself to other people to know the importance of, you know, you want to live well. That's what retirement or this part of life is about. As a 64-year-old regular guy, I just want to live well, love my grandkids, and don't become a burden on my family.
That's a really important point. And the minute before we get to the commercial break, Odell, I just want to ask, you know, you made an important point there, you know, where you said we're men, you know, a lot of times we don't go to the doctor unless something hurts, right? And just we like to be real here on this show. We know there are distinct health issues and between, you know, with men and women, physically, but also mentally. And like, you know, it's, you know, you and I had coffee recently and talked a little bit about this. It can be difficult, honestly, for a lot of men to, you know, with the issue of a prostate and getting checked and those types of things, to talk about it and to consider it. And so I just want to commend you on that and just give you an opportunity of, in the last minute here, just to say another word specifically about that, with that message that you're directing towards men about getting checked out for their with their prostate.
Yeah, because I think a lot of time, men, we look at prostate issues, dealing with relationships, intimacy issues, and they're two different things. And I just think that once we learn more and understand how certain body parts work and function and how they work together, it gives us a more sense of ease and understanding, like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Oh, well, I need to do this. And more important, not just to us, but also to our loved ones and to our families. And we'd love to talk more about that on the second part of the break.
Okay, great. Well, we will pause on that note. We've been talking with Reverend Odell Cleveland about checking up on prostate for men. We're going to get into some other topics after this commercial break. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, or a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. AARP Without Limits at AARP.org. We've been speaking today with Reverend Odell Cleveland of Greensboro's Mount Zion Baptist Church. We've been talking about his experience he had having been admitted to the hospital recently, the message he has for people, primarily men, having to deal with getting yourself checked out for prostate cancer. Reverend, the last time you were on our program, we spoke a bit about some of the books that you've written. Since then, I had the opportunity to read a book and a workbook that you authored called It's My Turn Now, Caregiving 101. And on the first page of the workbook that comes with that is a beautiful picture of your mother. And we spoke a bit about this last time you were on the show. But for those who didn't hear it, can you share a bit about your mother and how did you find yourself in the role as a caregiver?
Well, thank you. And again, my mother, first lady I ever fell in love with, you know, and that's the picture that I fell in love with as a child that's inside the workbook. But my mother had a massive stroke. She was a divorced single mother, four, working, going to school, doing all those things that, you know, people do. And she had a massive stroke at the age of 25. And I didn't know any better as a child. We would exercise her hand and try to do all those things to try to get her back. But I wasn't thinking at the time, Michael, that what would happen 30, 40 years from now? So again, you know, we succeeded, everyone's doing well, and you out here traveling around the country, traveling to different parts of the world, and life taps you on the shoulder and say, it's your turn now. And for most of us, we love it when it's our turn. As a child, you love your next, it's your turn. But when it comes to caregiving, when it's your turn, it puts your life on hold. And I just have to be honest enough to say that I didn't want it to be my turn. Yes, I love my mother, but I didn't want it to be my turn because caregiving demands a lot. And what many people listening to me will understand, that caregiving for a loved one is meant to be enjoyable, not to be endured, you know? And in my case, I was enduring it. I wasn't really enjoying it, but I started writing about it, traveling back and forth from Greensboro, North Carolina to Charleston, South Carolina every other weekend. And then I came to the realization that, you know, Dale, as someone who's taking care of an elderly parent, when my time as a caregiver is up, will I feel guilty or relieved? And will I feel guilty for feeling relieved? because we know sooner or later it's going to come to an end, whether I'm in the front of the church or I'm in the front car of the hearse. Mm. When that time comes, how am I going to feel? And let's be honest about it. And I got to the point I said, you know, when my time of a caregiver is up, I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm going to feel relieved. But until that time comes, I'm going to love my mother. I'm going to do the best I can and be the best son that I could be. But at the same time, I do have a family and I do have children and grandchildren. So it's almost like being caught in that, what we call the sandwich generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so glad that you shared what you did. You know, caregiving is one of those things that, as you said, immediately disrupts your life. You know, it's not like a type of responsibility, like, you know, you're told that, oh, you need a new hot water heater, you know, or something. Right. And you're like, oh, man, really? You know, and that's a pain. And you're like, okay, maybe you can afford to put it out of your mind for maybe a couple of days or something, you know, thinking how you're going to pay for it. This, with caregiving, it's like, okay, full stop. Life is disrupted beginning right now. And, you know, as you said, I think it's easy to feel overwhelmed yes. and exhausted. And I know for me, you know, thinking about this, the last thing that you want or need in that situation when you're now a caregiver is, you know, having to, you know, trying to figure things out. And, like, you know, you don't have the time to read a long book or to figure out a lot of, you know, jargon and figuring out new terms and things like that. And that's why I really like the book and the workbook that you've put together. They're really a perfect companion piece because it keeps things very simple. It provides opportunity for reflection as well as planning. And the fact that you included a workbook, and I want to ask you specifically about the workbook, because most of the time you get a resource and it's just, you know, it's just the book, you know. This, you've put together a book, which is sized, you know, a certain size for certain reasons I'm sure you can share, but also the workbook, which provides space for a reader to jot down their thoughts and about all sorts of different things. But talk to us a little bit about that. What about your decision to include a workbook and why that's so important?
Well, feedback. People would come back. I was able to present United Healthcare years ago. United Healthcare came in along with North Carolina Coalition on Aging. It was called Older American Month. And they asked me to be the caregiver spotlight. So they highlighted my book and people read it and folks locally read it. And they said, it'd be great to have a workbook that we could work through this with. Mm. And I'm like, okay. So we put together a workbook and the book you mentioned is small. It was designed to be small enough to go into a young lady's purse while they're sitting in the doctor's office or they're sitting someplace and could pull it out and read it. But now they want it to be thick. And it's not one of those books that's so sterile, like here's the professional talking to you. No, just a common everyday guy who life tapped him on the shoulder and said, it's your turn now. And we talk about sibling rivalries. We talk about all the things that you look and your mother and father had X amount of children, but you look up and you're the only one carrying this, I'll say burden, responsibility, whatever. So we talked about playing and I just opened my heart up and just how I felt about things. And I think that's why people are really being drawn to it, because the fact that here's this regular guy saying things that I may not be comfortable saying to my family or my siblings or my loved one, but I could talk to them about this book I read. And then we could sit down and talk through the workbook together. So that's why the workbook came about by popular demand.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And as you said, the book is very, like you said, personable and relatable. Like you're talking about your story, your interactions, and, you know, there's a flow to it that makes sense. And then the workbook, as you mentioned, thing about a sibling rivalry. I also know you even have a section there about like how to work through setting boundaries with your siblings and other family members and things like that, which is normally when people think about caregiving initially, they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about time management and, you know, the healthcare pieces and all that stuff. And then there's all this other stuff that you sort of discover as you're going through the caregiving process with family, as things get really complicated and all of that. This gives you the opportunity to jot that through. And so that's why I'm so glad you did that. because I think it's such a helpful resource for people. Odell, in the last couple of minutes that we've got with you, you know, you've been very prolific with the work that you do, not just with your books, but with podcasts, TV shows, and of course your work with the church and ministry. You've gone overseas to Israel and to other places. Tell us a bit about you know, what's next for you. What could we be looking out for from Odell Cleveland?
Two things, and I'll be very brief. First thing is doing a podcast on men and women's health, more particularly men's health, with a MD, medical doctor, urologist. We did just did a taping the other day, almost like a beta test, and it went very well. It's just amazing how it's going. So I'm very interested in that, but also in writing another book around the legal responsibility of caregiving, because I was talking to my CPA the other day and sharing some of the things we did with my mother's estate, even though we were poor people, but you know, folks who are diligent have something. And there's a certain way you have to handle things to make sure that you don't lose everything in the process. And just, and here's a guy who handles our little bit of pennies, and he was sharing how him and his wife didn't handle things properly with their mother-in-law, and they got taxed, and it's just, it was just not good. Mm-hmm. And here's a guy who understands, but he didn't understand the legal responsibility of caregiving and how to handle it in that perspective. So that's what I'm working on now, those two things.
Excellent, excellent. Well, once again, sir, you are stepping up and providing resources where it is really needed. Just while we've got our last minute here, your program, podcast, and so forth, just the name of the program and how people can find it?
Yes, the name of the podcast is P is for Prostate, and you know, it's on Patreon, and just go from there, and I can send information. But I just, but Mike, I just want have one question for you, sir.
Yes.
How do I get that good looking hair that you have? How can I get that good looking hair that you have? Because I'm getting bald now. Help me out. Where can I find the good looking hair, sir?
Oh, you're too funny, sir. I got to tell you, I don't have any advice on that. I got to say, God bless me with some nice locks, and I try to show my appreciation every day by doing up the pompadour. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that is a wrap. Thank you so much, Reverend Odell Cleveland, for being with us and all that you're doing for the community and beyond. That's a wrap for today's program, folks. I want to thank Odell Cleveland for being our guest again. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. This is Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.